Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to leaders, entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, and we dive into what they're doing to scale up their businesses and also scale up themselves as they head towards their mission and achieving that mission. And super excited today to bring in Freek and Ben from FinTech Champs. These guys are doing some incredible stuff in the FinTech space, and they're scaling up their businesses and also helping their customers scale up their businesses. So it's going to be an exciting show today. Before we get stuck into the show, I want to just give you a bit of an insight as to what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be talking about creating want, getting a connection with your audience. And as you do this, folks, as you connect with your audience, it's important you understand your narrative, because your narrative is going to allow you to engage with your audience in a way that gets them to respond to you. So great, guys, having you on the show today. Freek and also Ben, welcome, and let's get going, right?
Thanks for having us, Richard.
Sounds good.
Cool. Let's get the show on the road. Okay, so let's jump into it, and let's start at the top of, I guess, at the top of the funnel, right? And Freek, I'll drag you in first to the discussion, and just get your insights as a co-founder and as a founder. How have you gone about engaging with your audience, your prospects, and your customers that allows them to firstly understand that you're there to solve a problem, and then also enables them to reach into you when required?
Yeah, very good question. So when we started FinTech Champs about 2.5 years ago, it was just the three of us, right? It was myself. I had done some business, mostly connected to scale-ups, but also some stuff in the payment space. My two co-founders, Bob and Mark, they had been in the payment space for quite a long time, so about 20 years on average. So they had a lot of baggage when it comes to know-how and experiences and what they've come across, issues they've encountered and opportunities that they pursued. And so, you know, when we started working together and we started looking for clients, fintechs to represent, we basically had a very relaxed discussion with those clients that we met at back in the day before Corona, was meeting them face to face at events or meeting them because we had done business with them in the past. And we discussed those issues that they were having and that we were having as well. And so, by just having those conversations, we could convince them that by working together, we could accelerate their businesses because they wouldn't make the same mistakes, for instance, that we made in the companies we represented before. So, and what we did actually right from the beginning was, you know, just setting up the social channels that people use in a B2B business, you know, like LinkedIn and Twitter and a couple of other accounts. And also obviously set up a website, initially just a very small one pager and then some material kind of explaining our services. I think that events, and it's quite interesting what happened last week. It was the first face-to-face event since, I think, a year and a half or maybe 2 years that I attended here in Amsterdam. It was Money 2020. I would say the largest fintech event of the year, at least here in Europe. And you could sense how powerful it is to actually connect to people there face-to-face and bump into your old colleagues and bump into your old network. Set up meetings, and obviously there was a huge appetite for all these companies to meet each other and to do business, because you should not underestimate the power of meeting each other face to face as opposed to the virtual calls that we were used to over the past year and a half.
And I hear you, and the whole virtual and definitely face-to-face thing and, you know, the events coming up, which is all good. And I think it's going to be a hybrid model sort of going forward. But just to go back to a couple of things that you were saying, you mentioned when you're engaging with that audience initially, you know, prospects and also those potential customers, that you're convincing them of your worth, your services, and how that could help them get to where they want to go. And is convincing the right word, or is it persuading them to maybe think slightly differently, or persuading them to think the same, but showing them that you guys and girls can do it better than is currently being done?
Yeah, I think the motto of our company that we, you know, we did a workshop around, okay, what should we be about as a company? Right? Yeah. Okay, we knew kind of the experiences we had, and we know what the companies are struggling with. The main thing that companies are struggling with, and that's our tagline of the whole conversation, of the whole company as well, is that we close the gap between fin and tech.
Yep.
So there's the traditional banks that have been sleeping actually for quite a while. And then there's the fintechs that created something creative, but don't necessarily know the traditional world. And we get those two to talk to each other. Mm. And we think, and that's what we've proven as well, is that when you bridge that gap, a fintech company can accelerate. Now, every company is looking for acceleration, especially in the fintech space, right? Because, you know, they got some funding, you know, and then they suddenly need to conquer Europe or the world, you know, meet the KPIs that their shareholders, that they agreed on. And so the acceleration bit is always key. And that's something that we have in our DNA. We accelerate businesses, and we do that on three different topics. We do that by helping them with business development, because we have a huge network of people and companies we can connect to. And we have the people that we've trained up to sell those propositions. So again, it kind of shortens the time of the go-to-market. And then we also help them with the experience that we have. So specific people that have been in an industry for a long time that we can place at those companies and, again, accelerate the duties and the bottlenecks they might have by using their experience. And then the third bit that we help with are the licenses, the bank licenses. Again, a very lengthy process that could be quite expensive. And we tend to shorten that implementation, that submission of the application, help out with the governance and stuff. So again, just cutting corners and accelerating.
And okay, you mentioned accelerate a number of times. And what do we actually mean by accelerate? Is it taking a company that's pre-seed, seed, maybe Series A, and giving them more clients, giving them more knowledge, a bit of both, or other aspects?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think it means differently for a company in different stages.
Yeah.
Right? We have clients that have just kind of closed a round of A series, and they need to start looking at almost transformational deals to get them up to the next level and become kind of the standard solution in a particular market, for instance. Yeah, with those guys, we set them up and bring them in touch with key stakeholders at the prospective companies that they want to target. Now, that whole first process of qualifying the right opportunities and getting in front of the decision makers is a lengthy process for most of those tech companies, right, that are not that sales-oriented. And so for them, acceleration means, getting that first bit done, making sure that their proposition lands with the right people and with the right companies. For other companies, you know, we're working with stock-listed companies, acceleration means something completely different. Means, okay, we need to go into different markets, and how are we going to do this? We have the sales power, but we don't know how certain markets work. And Europe, as you know, Richard, is completely different, for instance, from countries like the US, with local regulation in different parts of Europe. And so we help them, again, accelerate going into different regions.
Okay, so it's accelerating both knowledge and also, I guess, introductions and connections that allow them to move to where they want to go, right?
Yeah, it's like if you look at kind of, there's always a vehicle to cut corners, I think. And that's something you need to work out. Okay, how can I achieve that? You have your own team And then there's people that have, you know, have the experience, have done stuff before. You can either hire all those people in the company. And in most cases, that's difficult because that means there are a lot of costs associated because those people with a lot of experience, a lot of good network are quite expensive. And we, as Fintech Gems, we offer this total package for, I would say, a good price. And you'll be able to tap into all those individual heads and in those individual sets of baggages, if that makes sense. And so, and that worked quite well, to be honest, with the people we're serving now.
And going back to some maybe the early days and even now, how do you consistently how did you make yourself known? And then how have you consistently sort of remained top of mind so that if there is a problem between Fin and Tech, people are looking to you guys as the solution?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey for us as well. I mean, we were startup like any other kind of fintech or other startup. So we initially tapped into our own network. Like I said, we met them individually or at events, and that got the ball rolling. Eventually, the more the team grew, obviously, we had more people being able to focus on getting our name out there. So we started kind of hiring some marketing people and, doing these initiatives with you, for instance, Richard, going to more events and getting our name out there, talking to local economic affairs departments, for instance, that we did the webinars for. Yeah. And we also started, because this is also the service that we provide to our own clients, as you referred to before, we started stringing together some qualification tools, allowing us to better qualify who we should be going after and who our client should be going after. And on top of that, started automating by developing our own tools, our messages and reach outs, for instance, via LinkedIn. So we can actually reach quite a lot of companies through channels like LinkedIn with personal messaging at scale, still behaving like a natural person. And obviously you'll be able to jump into those conversations whenever you can. But that really helped us kind of get the name out there and get to talk to companies that you wouldn't initially have in your direct network.
And let's jump into that. I mean, so getting yourself known is obviously the events and what have you, but then you mentioned LinkedIn and social. And it sounds like you've automated parts of that sort of social side of things. And what does that look like? I mean, when you go around automating parts of your qualification and also your social tools, I mean, I guess what I'd like to know is, how are you doing that? And what tools can you recommend to the listeners out there that they could look at to maybe do the same or take a look at doing something similar?
Yeah, so we even acquired a company or are a major shareholder of a company which is called Improvy.io, allowing you to have almost a sidekick that helps you with the qualification of these, first of all, companies, and second of all, the stakeholders. Yeah. They also have tools that allow you to approach people on LinkedIn in an automatic fashion. But that's, that's one bit, of course. Mm. You still have to spend some time, obviously, picking up on the conversations. And then when the conversations happen, the whole consultative selling part around it, of course, because,
So I'll say in that, what about tools such as ClickFunnels?
Yeah, no, we haven't kind of played around with that. We didn't really have the need yet. So there's a lot of things we still can do and we should be doing. I think so far we've been spoiled with the successes we've already had. But no, there's definitely some room for other things we have to try. But that also means getting the right talent in the company that can work with those solutions and strategies. I found personally, quite a big investment, right? So that's probably the reason we haven't done that yet. I think we're still at the stage where from our own personal Fintech Gems branding perspective, we can do a lot more, getting the name out there, creating more content. So, we're at the stage where we quite recently launched a blog, an article functionality, for instance, right? So we can at least, write some content and SEO our website a bit better, for instance. and we've got someone, you know, to create LinkedIn posts for us and that type of stuff. We're at that stage still.
That's a good stage to be at. You communicate now to your audience. And just to bring sort of Ben into the conversation, I know you work in sort of the BD function and you're doing some cool stuff then. What I'd like to know from you is, well, what do you think is your most effective and least expensive, because sometimes there's a lot of expense around marketing, but least expensive marketing strategy? It'd be good to get some insights from you on that.
Yeah, so I think what Greg mentioned before is, yeah, so we're actually always like the middleman. So I guess you get in touch with a lot of different types of clients.
Yeah.
So we get in touch with merchants, we get in touch with a lot of different fintech companies.
Yeah.
The fintech companies are always in need of getting in touch with other sort of fintech companies or finding a way to partner up. So I think mainly just getting in touch with people. And I think mostly what's most effective is probably LinkedIn. And just by getting in touch, you can just get your brand out and mention what you are capable of doing. And by just using and mentioning the pillars we have, so mainly mentioning we do licensing, we help merchants with setting up their payment strategy, or we help fintechs partnering up with others, they know what you're capable of. So I guess like once the need's not there right now, they'll come back to you within a couple of months. Because the need will jump up anyway. So I think, mainly using LinkedIn is a good tool, and then setting up a call afterwards just to discuss and hear the needs of the person you're speaking to. I think that's the most effective way. I guess I would say emailing is getting a little more outdated. Depends a bit on how you work. But I would say using email as the first tool, I wouldn't recommend it. I guess it comes a bit spammy.
Yeah. Well, so email, newsletters, I mean, I guess it depends, as you said, it depends how you use it. And if you send in out value in that email, then there can be nice call to actions, like come join our community event or something like that at the bottom of it. But it very much depends on what you view as a, or how you use the tool, right? As always. And what about things such as referrals, right? Because, you know, referrals are most probably the least expensive. Also, I feel maybe the most underutilized sort of marketing tool and business development tool that's out there right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And Richard, it's actually also, it comes straight to the point why people use us for their business development activities as well, because we're almost a referral to those guys as well, right?
Yeah.
If you've done business with someone and you've provided value to a particular party, it's much easier to get in touch with them and present them with a solution as opposed to reaching out to them completely cold. So you're absolutely right. And some of our clients came through referrals, and we have referral agreements with those guys. And we're getting more and more into that space because, every company plays a part in a sales cycle, when you talk about that, of a particular company. And it's almost like some companies are waiting for the first thing, for something to happen first before they can actually sell to them, right?
Yeah.
To give you an example, speaking to a party at Money 2020, where they provide the technology for fintechs to provide virtual IBANs, for instance, or some other fintech services that these fintech companies need a license for in the UK or in Europe. Before that happens, in most cases, they won't be able to implement their solution. So for them, it's really interesting if they talk to us about getting that license done. And so, that opened my eyes a little bit that we should be working with those companies that speak to the prospects that we have for our license projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. This is interesting because you guys run an ecosystem in a way, a little community. And what do you think, just going back to the top of the show and answering the question, because we've gone into some detail, what do you think are the three, and you can both answer this, are the three essential ingredients to continuously connect with your audience if you're a fintech leader, an entrepreneur, founder, and what have you?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's a content strategy, right? And like you mentioned, it was spot on, Richard. You need to be able to provide valuable content. And the more valuable content you create, the more sticky your audience is going to be, right? So from that perspective, definitely a content strategy. We have so much experience in within our company, but still are, I think, lacking a little bit with regards to explaining our story to a broader audience. So we do that obviously to our clients and to our employees, but we should be doing, you know, we should be writing articles and success stories and also fail stories a lot more. So that's one thing. I think the other thing which is going to help, and again, coming back to it again, is it are the events, right? So bumping into people more regularly, not just by having a virtual call, but going to the same type of events and talking about what's happening in the industry will help a lot. And if I have to kind of put a third one into the mix, I don't know, it could be an ultimate, it could be a newsletter, maybe, or something valuable that you'll send them that they subscribe to, but it's something that we should probably should be doing, but we're not doing at the moment.
Like an ebook or something like that, right? So a bit of value every quarter.
Exactly. Or just like, or it could be, you know, a catch up, like for instance, here in Holland, we remember of the Holland FinTech organization, you know, they have a catch up with everybody where they just talk people through the companies that got the latest investment and that type of stuff, just educating them on the developments in the industry. There's room for those opportunities, I think, as well.
Yeah. And what about yourself from your perspective, Ben?
Yeah, so I kind of agree with Freek. So I think, what we want to achieve is that we really
are. Are you allowed to disagree with him? Come on. Tell us.
I mean, you want to be the brand that's known for, like the ecosystem partner for within fintech. So either if you need help for merchants or you need licensing, people want to find you. So I guess we've been very successful with that with our own network. I think, we've came to a point that we have to show that out to the rest of the world. And I think there are multiple strategies for that. So I think, hosting certain events or having people speak about certain topics, because we are really in touch with a lot of different types of fintechs. And I guess we always want to learn. I think that's something that's common among people. So I think that's one good strategy. And I think the other one is like really keep on writing dedicated and explaining to other people what it's really about. So what we've also been noticing, people would like to say they're a payment expert, but they just know like a small part of it. So it's a good idea to help those people educate as well. It's coming back to that again. I guess it's the same thing with events. I think people are fed up with just calling virtually now, and people just would like to meet up at events. I think just really going to a lot of different events can really step up your game of getting in touch with more people, I think.
That's a good point, actually, you're raising, Ben, because with something we're exploring at the moment is whether we can create some sort of learning module at different levels of organizations, to different departments and different levels, skill levels of the people that work for those companies and departments, to see if we can help them educate on the parts that they're working with to become stronger and more skillful. And this is a project that we've just kicked off, but that would again also be a way to constantly be in connection with the audience and the customers and prospects, I guess.
Yeah. And you guys rattled off some really fantastic nuggets here. So everyone take note. But I think the one silver bullet that goes through all of us is communication. Yeah. You got to continuously communicate an outflow, going to events, writing blogs, ebooks, newsletters, educating your market or your audience on different things. And if you do this, you're going to be able to, rise above the noise and show people that you are the thought leader, you the influencer that people actually want to connect with, right?
Yeah. And also sometimes it's also just picking up the phone and, ring someone and see how what they're up to, right? And have a 100%. Relaxed conversation about, okay, what's going on in your world?
Yeah.
And it would be imagined how many times you come out of that phone call and then there's an opportunity that you can help them with, or the other way around, right?
Yeah.
So it's also sometimes finding the time, sitting down and thinking, okay, who am I going to reach out to that I've not spoken to for a while directly, and just have a conversation with. And if nothing comes out of it, then at least know the status of that company if something comes out of it, then perfect, right? And then it's been worthwhile your time.
Yeah, brilliant. And you know, as you look forward to the future, Freak, I mean, what questions are you as a leader and as a founder asking yourself, and what factors are you considering as you step into sort of maybe the post-COVID world in 2022? Because that's just on the horizon, right?
Yeah. So what do you mean by that, Richard? So you mean the questions that I would ask myself or ask the people that I talk to?
Ask yourself. So what are you as a business owner asking yourself, and what factors are you considering so you can go forward and expand?
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, it's, in my opinion, the question I would ask myself is, where are the medical service, our business at least, where are the gaps in terms of markets that we either sell to acquire clients or to sell to on behalf of our clients, right? Yeah. We say that our network is quite global, which it truly is, but there's still some gaps here and there, right? Yeah. And we were hoping to fill those gaps over the past sort of year, but that was quite difficult, right, with some restrictions. So yeah. I think that there's still some markets where we're lacking. I mean, when you look at Southeast Asia, we've been quite active in the past. We haven't been the sort of past year. So that's something that we definitely want to tap into again.
Yeah.
And I think in general, outside of Europe, we need to kind of really step up our game. And that's why we're undertaking kind of, you know, business trips to, for instance, the States in 2 weeks to go to the Money 2020 event in Las Vegas, for instance. But we should also follow the same path to, I think, places like Southeast Asia. Because there's so much going on from a fintech perspective there, right? Probably front runners on many levels. And we think about closing the bridge or closing the gap. I mean, there's so much we can learn from there and implement that here. And especially all those customers going back to Europe. I would say the Chinese customers coming to Europe probably as of next year. We still see a massive drop in Europe from travelers from Southeast Asia. That's going to pick up probably in 2020, and companies need to be ready for that, right? So for me, that will be the question, okay, how are we going to bridge that gap for us as a company in 2022?
Nice. And sort of as we come towards the end of the show, I'll ask you both a question around self-education, actually. We spoke about educating the market, but it's also good to understand how our leaders, such as yourselves, are educating yourself. So maybe go for Ben first. Ben, what are you doing right now to level up and increase your knowledge on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis?
Yeah, so I think there are different aspects to that. So what I currently do is I read a lot of news on, like, finding out which companies or fintechs are getting investments. So you get in touch with, so you get notice of a lot of different new types of fintechs as well.
Yeah.
And that's a good starting point, I think. And then from there, you can deep dive into what kind of companies they are and what's going to be trendy in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Because once you see one starting, then you see a lot of companies following afterwards. I think that's a good start. I would say listening to a couple of different podcasts and just making sure you really educate yourself by listening to that at least once a week, so you really know what's going on in the space.
Yeah, cool. And what about yourself, Freak?
Yeah, for me, it's just the FinTech Scaling Show, Richard, that is really doing the trick, of course. But now I find it very hard to, outside of my daily duties and activities, to listen to podcasts and read books or any other material. So, and especially with two small kids at home, you know, finding the time to do that is really challenging, right?
Yeah.
But what I try to do is, during my work activities, you know, working with all these different clients that play a part in this fintech ecosystem, because we truly work with, like Ben mentioned a couple of times, with all these different players, that is in itself already a lot of education, right? Yeah. And that what we try to do as a company, every Friday at 10 a.m. Dutch time, we have a payment training. And during that payment training, we call it a payment training, but it's actually become a fintech training, really. We give clients and non-clients the opportunity to do a presentation and educate our team, or we have someone from the team explain something about the industry. could be the difference between Interchange Plus Plus from various providers and how to interpret it. Very detailed pricing education to the team. But that's how we kind of, keep ourselves educated, I think, at least from my perspective. But yeah, there's so much valuable content out there, of course. And a lot of information is pushed to you. Luckily, I find it quite useful nowadays, right? And you start reading it. So you almost don't have to search for it. But it's because of people like Ben that we found out about you guys, for instance, Richard. And that is very valuable as well, of course.
Yeah, brilliant. And, just to wrap up the show, I think for the listeners, there's a lot of information in this show, a lot of little nuggets that you can definitely pick up an action. So if you're just starting out and trying to figure out how to build your audience, or even if you're along the journey and have built your audience, there's things you need to be doing right now in order to move them towards their ideals, and also help you get more people in your bucket, right? One of the things, I think the main thing is making certain that you outflow lots. There's communication, and the communication needs to be a hybrid model, right? There are events. Go to Las Vegas if you need to go to Las Vegas. Go to Amsterdam if you need to go to Amsterdam. Go to events. Start engaging with people. But also, obviously, there's LinkedIn and other communication mechanisms that you really need to understand and dig down to spread the net wide and cast the net wide as you scale up yourselves. And before we wrap up, if you have any questions off the back of the show, drop me a note at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Happy to answer them. And guys, it's been brilliant. Absolutely love the show today. Freaking myself for wearing the same color top, which is pretty cool. It's been
Ben
brilliant.
Ben didn't get a memo, but
The memo next time. But brilliant. Loved having you on the show. Loved diving into the different parts of what you're doing for the fintech world and the fintech ecosystem, but also how you're scaling up yourselves in the different parts of how you engage with your audience. So brilliant insights, and thanks a lot, both Ben and Freak.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks so much.